Good morning show, Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks, and joining us from the Flathead Lake Biological Station, Jared Grummer. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, you too. So now we're going to talk conservation genetics. I have a feeling we're talking fish here, right?
Yes, but we can apply this to anything. But yeah, I happen to be working on fish in the local area.
And so kind of give us an understanding of conservation genetics, what you mean by that.
Yeah, so I mean, we've been really blessed. This is a nice time to live as a biologist because there's been such a proliferation of technologies for sequencing genomes and DNA from different organisms. So conservation genetics is just using information that we can get from the DNA of organisms to help us manage populations, and these are typically populations that are either, you know, small or isolated, or of interest to fisheries managers, or wildlife and fisheries rather.
And it seems like we're fighting to save some of our species. The first one that comes to mind is the bull trout.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot of attention on certain species, especially that we know about in this area. I just went to a talk on West Slope cutthroat trout and how they're kind of interacting with the warming weather as well. And so yeah, there's definite, you know, wherever you go around the globe, there are different species, local species that are in peril, and we could definitely use genetic tools to help us understand how to better manage these populations and hopefully keep them around for a long time to come.
I didn't think about warmer water. I thought the danger was hybridization, you know, where there's...
I mean, fish getting together when they shouldn't be?
That's right.
Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, and these two things interact. I mean, right now, humans are certainly, you know, the culprit for a lot of the issues that a lot of natural populations are facing. And two of those you guys just hit on. One is climate change, and the other is hybridization, and hybridization is happening in a lot of these systems because, and again, with specific regard to fish have been moved around because anglers, I'm an angler, so I'm not pointing fingers, but anglers like catching fish, and especially certain types of fish, and so they move things out of their native range, and then that just brings about these new problems, like bull trout, for instance. They're in the same genus. They're closely related to brook trout. But out here in western Montana, brook trout are not native, but they've been introduced by fishermen in the past. And so now we have this issue where bull trout are, it's not too common because there's such a big size discrepancy between bull trout and brook trout. But we are seeing instances of those two things hybridizing together.
Good. And so how, I guess maybe explain to us how this happens. I mean, what kind of a biological process happens in order for them to spawn?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question because a lot of these things, they've got, you know, what we call natural history. They've got different parts of their natural history in terms of when they breed, how they breed, where they breed, et cetera. And so something that we kind of take for granted being humans and mammals, you know, we just assume that, you know, fertilization happens inside the organism, but there's a lot of organisms, amphibians and fish, that fertilization actually happens outside the organism. Obviously fish, these things are, the female kind of digs her nest, what they call the red, so they kind of turn their body sideways, flap their tail around a little bit and clear out a little gravel, and then they happen to just drop their eggs at the same time that the male deposits the sperm, the milk, and then fertilization happens outside. And so when you have that kind of setup, there's a lot less choosiness. There's a lot less choice in terms of what sperm is actually passing over what eggs to happen with fertilization. So when you have this kind of setup, that ends up being a lot easier to have hybridization is breeding between two pretty different things. And so, you get these cases where you might have a big pair of bull trout, say, where the male and the female are trying to do their normal, you know, mating, but then you've got a small little brook trout, little male or something that sneaks his way in there. And while the female bull trout is dropping her eggs, he can, you know, drop some of his sperm in the water and you get that, you get that hybridization. So that's one potential way that something like that could happen.
That was going to be my next question, Jared, is, you know, how did these know, how do these fish know they're messing with the same species?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly, you know, again, our human human-centric way of seeing things. We kind of just, we rely on our senses to just kind of tell who's who. And, you know, fish, obviously, they've been around for longer. They've got different ways of kind of communicating with each other. And so, yeah, there's all sorts of different ways that they're using, whether it's vision, whether, you know, again, like I was kind of hinting at earlier, these different species breed at different times. They've got different behaviors that they're doing when they're getting ready to breed with each other. And so all these little things kind of add up to them being able to tell each other apart. And again, this is kind of a extreme example between bull trout and brook trout because they're so different in size, but it can get a little more challenging when species look a bit similar. But yeah, generally it's this kind of suite of timing of different stages of reproduction and being able to recognize each other through sight and other senses that they can kind of tell each other apart.
Have you seen any evidence that maybe some of this is through maybe Darwinism, natural selection, in order to make the species stronger?
Okay, so what can you ask that question again, just a little more detail?
Well, what I meant is that the idea of natural selection making the species more able to survive the changing conditions in the world. Darwin spoke of that with mammals. I'm just wondering if that may be happening with fish in this case.
Yeah, I mean, you know, natural selection is just happening in the world all around us all the time with all these natural populations. And one thing that's particularly interesting about hybridization is that you get this, you know, you've got your two kind of parent types of species, but then you get this thing that's intermediate. And sometimes that intermediate thing can be really good. It can perform better than the parents. But sometimes that thing can be really bad. You know, the common example, I can never remember there's the horse and the donkey, and I think they make the ass or the whatever the hybrid is between those two. That's like the typical example of that hybrid is so selected against that it can't even make offspring. So in terms of evolution, that thing is sterile. It's not going to be able to produce anymore. That lineage is not going to go on any further. So that's an extreme example of natural selection saying this thing is so bad that you've made as this hybrid that it's not going to work. But there's other cases where we can get the hybrids to actually perform better. And so natural selection is going to favor that thing. So there's a lot of ways that natural selection is always working, and it's just really kind of context dependent in terms of how it works.
Well, you made a point earlier about the streams getting warmer, and perhaps that's making it more difficult for them to survive, and so we're breeding a new species of fish that is more tolerant to that?
Yeah, I mean, so that's, you know, the bull trout and the brook trout example that we've kind of gotten into, that's a little more peripheral to my knowledge because I'm more directly working, you know, I am an angler and work on fish here generally. So I know a little bit of it, but the stuff that I'm working on more is between rainbow trout and West Slope cutthroat trout. The rainbow trout being introduced, they're not native here in Western Montana, but the West Slope cutthroat trout are. And so there's been quite a bit of research looking at how climate change is going to interact with hybridization and how that's going to ultimately affect these species. I mean, the concern, and it's kind of built on evidence that we don't. So the West Slope cutthroat trout, they supposedly like cooler water. That there's kind of different evidence that says maybe they actually like similar temperature water to rainbow trout, but if we assume that West Slope cutthroat trout like cooler water, generally water trends, especially in this area, are warming. And so there's a hypothesis that we're kind of testing that if you have rainbow trout that like warmer water, West Slope cutthroat trout that like cooler water, when you have this hybridization and you get these genes, these pieces of DNA from the rainbow trout that get into the hybrids, they start making their way into the population of West Slope cutthroat trout, that might actually kind of give them this adaptation, this adaptive potential to be able to withstand the warmer temperatures. So that's that's something that we're kind of actively looking at.
I'm just wondering, I was thinking about when you were talking about that up at Gunsight Lake, where they're getting ready to purge the lake trout out of there, or I guess it's the rainbow mm-hmm. they're getting out of there, and to reintroduce the bull trout.
Mm, okay. Yeah, it's, we're kind of, again, like the bull trout and these things that are bull trout, particularly out of the native trout species in western Montana, they're really the ones that seem to prefer the coldest water. And so we are a northern state, but at the same time, the range of the bull trout doesn't go too much further south. It kind of goes into central southern Oregon. And anyways, we're kind of on the edge of the front of warming waters. You know, generally as you get more north, things are colder. As waters are warming up, we're kind of on that southern edge that's going to be seeing these effects most. And so it's the way that we have to manage for species, I always find interesting. You know, we've made so many problems and we tried to undo them as a species. You know, we've introduced lake trout. Okay, now we have to wipe them out kind of and then reintroduce the native trout. We're just constantly trying to undo what we've done. It's it's a bit messy.
What an interesting conversation, and thank you for sharing your expertise with us, Jared Grummer. We appreciate it from the Flathead Lake Biological Station.
Cool. Thanks a lot for your time. Nice to chat with you guys.
You too. Take care.